We finished chapter two. We're just barely going to start chapter three, but we're not going to get in too involved in that yet because we're going to do a review today. Okay. All right. Because a lot of that is just like reading your information, the end of chapter two there. Okay, so let's pray. Yes, ma'am. I do have some extra, but I think Shane, he may have just closed the door over there, but they're in behind the sound in that room up on the shelf. I'll go get him in a minute. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in Sunday school. We pray, Lord, that you would just be with us and calm our hearts. Help us, Lord, to just be attentive and to give you all the glory, Lord, for what we read in your word. And, Lord, I just pray that you be with the other classes. Give all the teachers the wisdom that you've imparted to them. And, Lord, I just pray you give us a blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our first memory verse was Romans 6:11. Who remembers that one? Anybody? Likewise. Oh, come on.
Thank God.
Okay, so likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so that was the theme of chapter one. But I should probably go get you. Okay, she knows where they are. Okay, so that's what the first chapter was about. We've been, in a sense, like a garden. We've been tilling the soil in our garden, getting our hearts ready to learn about the fruit of the Spirit and how we can implement them in our lives. And so the first chapter told us basically the sin in our lives, how it keeps us from fellowship with the Lord, but that we don't have to be captive to our sin. When we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. We have God is on our side. We are able to overcome sin in our lives. We will always have sin in our life. We can't get rid of that. It's something that's always going to be with us. It's just how do we allow the sin that we have, are we allowing it to conquer us? Are we allowing it to control our actions? Are we allowing it to be an ever-present part of our life? Or are we overcoming those sins that cause us to not have fellowship with the Lord, to not share with others, to just make us feel down? Are we giving in to them? And that led us into chapter two, which was talking about self-love versus self-esteem. Self-esteem, we found that it is not in the Bible whatsoever. It does not talk about promoting ourselves, lifting ourselves up, putting ourselves in first place. We are to be looking to the ways of others. And so our verse for chapter two was Philippians 2:3. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So we need to always kind of keep in the back of our minds that I need to look out for you. I need to encourage you. I need to pray for you. I need to lift you up. I need to listen. That's an important part of sharing with someone else, is listening. You may pick up on something that they say just in a slight conversation that you could give them either a scripture, or you could pray for them, or you can gain some insight into who they are. But if we're so busy and we're running to and fro and we're never really listening to someone, then we can't do for them. We can't give them any kind of wisdom or help if we're not taking the time to really know our sisters in the Lord. And even the men, there's sometimes the men will say something and it's in passing. They may not even say it to you. You may hear them make a comment about something, but just like Joe was sharing in the testimony time, they all have, all of our men are out in the world, and they're all struggling with their bosses and their jobs and their coworkers and their demands, and we need to lift them up. We need to think about them and what it is that they're going through. Our husbands, just, you know, the men that are in this church, pastor. We talked about pastor and how much time he has to spend in the Word and in prayer, and a lot of it is geared toward us. He's praying for each one of us individually, and he's giving a lot of his time to this ministry and how he can be a blessing to us. And because God's called him, God's giving him that ability. But when was the last time you prayed for him? Did you pray for him today? Do you earnestly pray for him throughout the day, that he has time to study, that he has time to do all these lessons? He's got Sunday school and church and Sunday night and Wednesday, and he's got all of these sermons that he has to prepare, and they have to be different, because we learned that each service, there's a reason why we have that service. Just like if you have a meal, there's a reason why you have breakfast, there's a reason why you have lunch, and there's a reason why you have dinner. There's a reason why we have every service that we have. Sunday school is geared for learning. Sunday morning is geared for reaching the lost. Sunday night is edifying the body. Wednesday night is prayer. All of those are aspects of the whole body of church. But if you're only getting Sunday morning or Sunday school, or just you come on Wednesday nights and Sunday school, or you come Sunday morning and Wednesday, there's aspects of this whole meal that you're missing out on. You're not being fed fully like you should be. And so it affects every aspect of your life, but it affects the church's life too. So, and the end of chapter 2, where we've just finished, we learned some very special things. Let's go to page, 24. How does God see me? These verses down here, we looked each of these up, because we've been going, in chapter 2, we learned about, we have things in our past that we hold on to, that we keep, we allow ourselves to hang on to, because we're not God and we can't separate our sin from us and our memories and all of that kind of thing. God wipes them away. God doesn't remember our past. He said when we're saved that our sins are as far away as the east is from the west. We don't have that ability. We tend to remember hurts and wrongdoings and things that we've done that we're ashamed of. We don't tend to forget about those. They may dull as time goes on and the more you're close to the Lord, but they're still there, and we tend to bring them up all the time, and we hold on to them and we let them affect our walk. And but I really enjoyed these couple of questions here of the ways that God sees me. I am his daughter. I belong to him. My body's the temple, and I need to remember that when I do things that I shouldn't and I take this places that I shouldn't go, or I take and I do things to this that I shouldn't do, and I look at things that I shouldn't. God dwells within me. So God is, we think we get away with stuff. We think we can go somewhere and nobody sees. But if you're a child of God, God's gone right there with you. He's participating in what you're doing. And sometimes we just have to have that reminder that, oh yes, I am not alone. I'm not God's enemy anymore in Romans 5:10, which is wonderful. God's on my side now, and you know, I don't have to, you know, be concerned that he's going to, he's always looking out for me. He's on my side now. And Romans 5:1, we're justified. And I shared that that's just as if I never, is what justified means. It's just as if I've never sinned ever in my life. That's the way God sees me when we're saved, because the blood of Christ has washed it all away. He sees me justified. We're the ones that have the harder time in seeing that we're justified because of the fact that we can't forget our past. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we're ambassadors of Christ. So we should be sharing. We should be representing the Lord in how we talk, where we go, how we dress, what we participate in, just like an ambassador that we have that represents the United States. When they go to foreign countries, they're expected to maintain a standard because they're representing the entire United States. That's the government, that's the people, that's everything. And so they need to be a good representative of that, where we in turn need to be the same with Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21 goes on to tell us that we're made righteousness in him. God's righteousness is placed on us at the moment of salvation. It's something that we don't gain more of. God's made us righteous at salvation. How we choose to let that out is where it's on our side. You know, it's on, you know, how we do it. And then we're loved with an everlasting love. That one just thrills me, because God's not going to stop loving me. You know, we people do that. It's like, oh, I don't love you anymore. Well, God never will say that to us. God's always going to love me. You know, and with our, like our children, I was sharing that that's really like the closest that we can comprehend that kind of love, is the love that we have for our children. It's an unconditional love. You may not like the things that your children do, but you will always love your child. And if you are, I mean, we're all children. Our mothers loved us with that love. And that's like the closest thing I can come up with to understand how much God loves me, is how much I love my children. Yes, ma'am.
But we still react as our children do with us.
Yes.
Because there are times they say, Mom, you're not going to look at me after I tell you what I did. And they have that feeling.
Yeah.
And as God's child,
we do the same thing.
I do. I'm like, God, how can you love me because I did this?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, even though I know that I will always
love my children, God, exactly.
When it comes to God, I want to react like my children react.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like, how can you love me anymore when I've done this or that, or even some people have that feeling before salvation. How could God love me so much when I feel so unloved in my life? I feel so inadequate. And we have to reassure them and let them know that it's an everlasting love. God loved you so much, he died for you. And no one's going to do that. No one else in your life will ever do that for you. But God did, because he loved you that much. And that's how I came to know the Lord, was by fully understanding that aspect. Then at the last little question says, what image do you have of yourself in God's eyes? Do you see yourself as special as God does? Do you see yourself forgiven? Do you see yourself redeemed? Loved with an everlasting love? We don't, but we can. We need to focus on that in our walk, because the more that we understand how precious and how wonderful God sees us, we will think better of and be able to present that in ourselves in a different light, because it's just overwhelming to me that Jesus would, and he made me who I am, and sometimes we don't like the finished product, but we're telling God that he doesn't know what he's doing when we say, I don't like this about myself, or I wish I looked like her, or I wish I was this. Then you're telling God that he didn't know what he was doing. But we were fearfully and wonderfully made who we are. We are all individual. We are all unique, but God loves us all the same. And to have that understanding and to be able to really grasp that aspect, that's what we've been learning these first two chapters, is yes, I sin, but I have an advocate. I have someone I can go to. I have help to overcome these areas in my life. I don't have to say I can't do something. I don't think I can manage to do that, because I have God's strength. I have God's help. I can do all things through Christ. But we say, well, yeah, I can do that, Lord. You know, you stay over there and I can do this. But it says I can do all things through Christ. It has to be done with his strength. Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes you think that way, that, you know, about mind, that, you know, God's telling us, you know, what you're saying about, I can do all things through Christ, which is in me. But sometimes ourselves and the place put God aside. So, you know, how I can, you know, read that scripture right there, where I can do all things through Christ when I'm not
exactly right. I mean, he has to be first in your life to be able to get that strength. He has to be you have to honor the Lord with your life. You have to be looking for, you know, staying close to him, being in prayer, doing all the things that we're supposed to do. God's always there with us. We're the ones that walk away. We allow sin in our life, or we don't put him first, or we're not praying, or we're not doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing. That breaks our fellowship with God. God's right here. We're the ones that back up. We're the ones that walk away. We're the ones that say, no, you stay there, God. I got this. You know, I can handle this part. You know, but then we run to him with the big heavy things, and he's always right there. But it's the little things that we need him for every day. You know, Lord, I need your strength in the morning when I get up so I can read my Bible before I go to work. I need to be mentally ready to go out into the world and face the world. And I need your help, Lord, at my job while I'm working. You know, it's like the phone's ringing and this, people want this and that and everything else. And it's like, okay, Lord, calm me down. Help me to focus. You know, but it's like, it's our attitude that needs to be worked on. We need to focus on the things, Lord, that we've learned, the things that Pastor tells us. We know all these things, and if anybody's been saved any length of time, you've heard it over and over and over again. And it's almost like when we hear it, it's like, oh yes, I need to do that. And we implement it for a little while, and then something happens, and the snowball runs down the hill again, and then you have to push it back up the hill. And but now I'm going to do an experiment. And this experiment is going to help all of us to remember this, what we've been talking about. So now we need to retire to the kitchen. Everybody needs to come into the kitchen with me. Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to leave this over here on the counter, so I don't want it to get wet. So I'm going to put it over here so everybody can hear what I'm doing. Garbage disposal is on that side. I don't want to do it on that side. Okay. So, you need to get where you can see me. I'm going to stand this way. You can see me if you kind of go over there, but I want everybody to be able to see what I'm doing. Oh, it's all right. It'll be, I'm just going to pour it in the glass, so. Okay. Now they're coming. Everybody needs to come in.
What is going on?
Is it brown sugar?
Nope. It's not brown sugar. This is our temple. This is sin. The dirt in the bottom of this glass.
Sin.
When sin has control of your life, this is what it looks like. This is what your temple looks like. It's dirty. Okay? But the more of the Holy Spirit you pour into your life, it takes just a few minutes to do this, so you'll see in a minute.
Coloring it.
Does it look better?
Yes.
Okay. First time I saw this, I was like, oh, this is so cool. But there's one aspect of this that is even better. Okay.
Does it stop the sinking?
No, it's very fine dirt. Plus, I'm not doing it on the garbage disposal side. Okay, that water looks pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
What's in the bottom of this glass?
Dirt.
There's still sin in our lives. No matter how long I pour water in this glass, there's still going to be dirt in the bottom. It's never going away. That's the sin in your life. It's never going away. But what is influencing you more? The Holy Spirit filling your glass? Or your sin? Because all it takes is a little stirring of that sin and you're dirty again. So that's what you need to focus on. This is always going to be here, but how much of an influence is it on your life or the Holy Spirit on your life? That's your little visual aid for today. Yay! I like that one. All right, now pour out most of this water, and then that gets dumped outside, and then it doesn't all go down the drain. You only got little particles that went down the drain. So yes, that's my little visual aid. That's only one. I have another one, but that's for in a couple weeks. We're gonna have another one that's even better. It's really good. Okay, now we can go back again. All for a visual aid, yay. Oh, that's right, I'm gonna wash it when I get home. I'm just gonna set that over there. That's mine. Yes, that's what I did. It's gluten-free, it's made with almond flour. It's like an, they call it a different, yes, but it's bananas and raisins and stuff like that. Okay. All right. Okay, so, it's warm. There's no air. Rose, can you flip that fan? One of those? Well, I don't. One of them turns them on. Yes, ma'am.
Is sin? Are there worse sins than others?
Well, I mean, sin is sin. Whether it's telling a lie or murdering someone. God sees. God doesn't see degrees of sin as we do, because some people will say, "Well, yeah, I may be a sinner, but I'm not that bad of a sinner. I'm not that bad." Well, yes, sin is sin. It doesn't matter if it's telling a lie or taking a piece of candy from a store, that's being a thief. Sin is sin, regardless of whether it's murder over here on this end, which in our eyes, we think that that's like the worst sin you could commit is taking someone's life. But telling a lie hurts God just as much as killing someone. Sin is sin. And you don't have, you know, it's all encompassed under sin. Sin is, now God lists, there are sins that God lists in his word that I guess he holds in more, but if you look at what those are, they're sins against yourself and against other people, like lasciviousness and covetousness. They're sins that you do against someone else, and I think God sees those sins worse than others. But I mean, he lists a whole bunch of them, and we even went over them in chapter 1. All of those sin, like adultery, that's against someone else. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, page 13 is what we're on. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, which is strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling. All of those are sins that it says yield to the enticements of the flesh. They're things that we do not only in our own bodies, but to someone else. All of these things are against mankind. In you're jealous, you held hatred in your heart for someone else because they have this and they have that and you don't have them. That's covetousness. I want it. But I'm jealous of her because she has beautiful black hair. And, you know, I'm jealous of her, of Miss Reva because she has beautiful brown skin. I'm jealous of Carlene because she gets to ride in this really cool scooter. But it's all right. I don't really.
I know.
But we think of these things and we kind of do them. We shouldn't. It's like we are what we are because of who God is.
Amen. The question that I have is, as we go through all of this stuff, is that when you believe,
uh-huh,
when you're saved, why do you still, or why do we still spend so much time in doubt?
Because of our experiment.
But you accept the fact that you're sinning.
Yeah.
You accept the fact that always
you're sinning. I'm always going to have sin in my life.
I'm always
exactly
a sinner. So if I accept the fact that I'm always a sinner, I accept the fact that I'm always going, or that there's a good possibility, mm-hmm, I'm going to do something sinful.
Right.
Because I don't know what everything is sinful. I know that murder is sin.
Right.
I know stealing is sin. But, you know, the other, the covetousness or the this or the that. I know that those things are there.
Right.
So, but if I believe, and I believe in what I read and believe in what I do, why are we all filled with self-doubt that we're doing the right thing?
Because of our sin nature, it's in us. We can't, just like we can't not sin, we'll always sin is always going to be there. We're always going to have that aspect in our lives. But the more of the Holy Spirit that we allow to work, I mean, we have all the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. But how much are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life? Just like our experiment that we did. How much of the Holy Spirit am I pouring into my life to get, in turn, flush out the sin that I tend to hold on to? How much of that am I allowing to happen? Am I staying close to the Lord in prayer? Am I reading my Bible? Am I sharing with others? Am I uplifting my brethren? And all of these things that we know to do, but we let ourselves tend to rule the, you know, the day. We're yes, ma'am.
I struggle with that too, but resolve a lot to, it's just the devil trying mm-hmm. to get me down. And he's trying to destroy me because he doesn't.
Oh, exactly. And doubt is the biggest tool that he uses.
Yes.
Is in our lives, are you sure that you got saved? Are you really sure that, you know, and you're really trusting to God to do what he said he's going to do? And as women, I think in some ways we're more prey to this doubt than the men are. I don't know why, but it's all of our emotions. He plays on our emotions. He plays on, oh, I failed again. I've done that one thing that I shouldn't do. And here we go, down the slide again. But it's all a matter of keeping our focus. It's a, just like we've been learning, it's like I need to focus on others. I need to focus on my walk with the Lord. I need to do the things I know to do. Then God does the rest. But if we don't even do that much, God's only going to help us so much. You know, we're not going to get all of his strength if we're neglecting to do the simple things that we are told to do and the Bible tells us to do. That, but it's never easy. It's not something that, oh, well, after I've been saved 10, 15 years, I'm going to have a better handle on this and so it's going to be easier to do. No, it's not. Because there's just more that you know to do, and you feel like, oh yeah, 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 one more thing I have to do, you know. But it's just, it's, yes ma'am.
I keep thinking that I should be better.
Uh-huh.
I should be better because it's been so many years, and I've been walking with the Lord, and I shouldn't still be doing this. It's not making some of the same mistakes, and I find that he equips me with everything that I need, every day, in every situation. But you know what I do? I go and undo it. You know what I mean?
Or
undo the work, what he's giving me. It's like I'm giving it back. Lord, I don't need it today. It's
exactly.
And I hate that.
But we're all, you know, we're all in the same boat. We all.
It's the devil.
It is.
I just found where I'm gonna place him. So I'm
that's right. It, and that I yeah. But just in the end of chapter 2, where we learned that 5 minutes. Hello, Rodney. He comes around and waves at me. It's like yeah. But just like we've been learning in tilling this soil up and getting our hearts ready for the fruit of the Spirit, it should cause us to focus on the things that we have learned. I need to stay close to the Lord. I have to acknowledge the sin in my life, that it's always going to be there. But how much control do I give it, as opposed to how much control do I let the Lord and the Holy Spirit work in my life? I can't undo the things in my past that I want to hold on to. God has wiped them away. They're as far away as the east is from the west. I'm the one that can't let go of them. I'm the one that won't let go of them or won't delegate them to a spot back here that, yes, they happened, but I don't have to be that person anymore. I don't have to feel that way anymore. I am a new creature in Christ. God has saved me. I am different, and I can be different with his help. And I know that I have his help all the time. But like Andrea said, I don't always claim it. I don't always say, Lord, I need your help today when I get up in the morning. Because I'm focused on, I've got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Well, when God says, maybe I don't want you to do those things today. Maybe I want you to do this and this and this. But if I don't ever say, Lord, here I am. Take all of me today. Use me however you need me to be used. And go and run with that. But if I say, okay, Lord, we got all of this to do today. Come on, let's go. Then who's leading? Me or God? Exactly. And that's not the way we've taught. We've learned that our life has to be. We need to let God be in control. Just like people have that silly bumper sticker on that God's my co-pilot. Well, that's just wrong even in saying it. God needs to be in the driver's seat, not in the passenger seat. Exactly. God needs to be the pilot. God needs to be driving this bus that we're on here. And if he isn't, then, I mean, he's here with us all the time. But just like in our experiment, and you two missed our lovely experiment.
I heard about it.
My experiment. Okay, so I had a glass, I put some dirt in the bottom, and I stirred it up, and it all mixes in with the water. And then I poured more water in this glass and started flushing out the dirt, and the water clears. So, but that's our life. This is our life, and the more the Holy Spirit you put in that glass, the less dirt you're going to see. But all it takes is a little swirl of that little bit of dirt that never goes away, then the sin is controlling your life again. And so how much of the Holy Spirit are you going to allow to control your life? Or how much of the dirt in your life are you going to allow to control your life? And it's just, you know, even just think about that when you get up in the morning. It's like, okay, do I want the Holy Spirit controlling my life? Or do I want Satan to control my life with this sin that he tends to drag up, and the doubt and the confusion and the anger and the, you know, whatever it is that you know, frustration, boredom, I think even can be a sin if we let it, because you're not happy with what you have. If you're bored or complaining is a sin. Complacency is a sin, because you're not happy with what God has given you. We complain about ourselves. We complain, I don't have green eyes. I don't like my nose. I have to wear glasses. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know, she's got pretty hair. I don't have pretty hair. Whatever it is, we tend to focus, that's our focus, because we look in the mirror and this is all we see, and that's, we focus on this. Your husband could tell you all day long, you're the most beautiful woman in the whole world. You look in the mirror, you don't see that, and you're wondering, what is he actually seeing, you know? And but God made me the way I am. And I need to be thankful and grateful that he even cares enough about me to die for me. And I need to be thankful that I am what I am, and that he chooses to use me. And I may not have what other people have, or I may have more than other people have. But it's still, I have to give the glory to God. And that's been our focus in this first two chapters that we've been gone through now, is we're getting our hearts should be prepared now for the next part of this book, which is learning about the fruit of the Spirit. And just like I emphasized at the beginning, it's not fruits of the Spirit, even though there's multiple parts of it. It is the fruit of the Spirit. One thing. We will have another visual aid in the next chapter. Thank you, ladies. I love you. Yes, ma'am. Start reading chapter 3. The beginning. Start filling things out that they want you to. Yes.